WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. When rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice.
Backlash has come and gone, and now we're here to talk all about it. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support your channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code RONGSACK for an item shop when you buy all the Star Wars and other things, is hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kitten.
You know, I hear voices in my head too, but usually it's just the three of you guys on Sunday night.
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't think it's the same voices that Randy hears, though.
No.
Those are some bad voices.
They make him do some bad things.
Especially if you're in leadership positions at the WWE.
Yeah. Especially if you are in WWE management, an agent, a hurricane, a noble.
Hey, Hurricane made the pay-per-view, though!
Pay-per-view pop for the Hurricane in 2025. We also
Double pay.
We also have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
Don't forget about our truth.
We'll get to him.
Dealt with the voices.
Hey, well, we're gonna get to.
He did not have a good night in many ways.
Nope.
No, he really didn't. But we'll get to him. And more. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come join us in the chat room. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, because it's Mother's Day.
It is, in fact, Mother's Day, yes. So anyway, we're here to talk Backlash tonight. It was an event, Brent.
It certainly was a PLE. It took place.
And that's not saying, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
No, it was... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It was certainly a post-Mania PLE. Not that there was anything bad, but it was also like, it wasn't one of those, like, when we've had it in Puerto Rico or in some other locations where it's like, it felt a little bigger. This was a B-tier PLE.
Felt like a Saturday Night Main Event.
No. No, I wouldn't go that far. Saturday Night Main Event's a little bit.
In addition of NXT.
Now you're going in the wrong directions. It was a solid event. that took place. That is the better way to describe it.
It was solid. I would say there wasn't really much surprise in what happened, would be the best way I can describe it.
I would mostly agree. Would you, Keish?
Like, you have a short build like that, and so, you know, you shouldn't go in expecting, like, a big four caliber event, or even some of those other ones that they have in Australia, France, things like that, but I also wouldn't say it was bad. I thoroughly enjoyed it from start to finish.
Yeah, there's nothing bad with the show. And again, those crowds help make those shows because they give them a different environment. The crowd was loud last night. They were very loud, but there's something the overseas crowds give these B-tier events that make them a little bit stronger in terms of, like, oh my God, that was can't miss, because they sing, they do all the little all their chants and whatnot, and it adds to the environment. This crowd was great, and the wrestling was really good.
I think what you were touching on something of, like, the fans were loud for this. They had the meter out, you know, when LA Knight came out, when Randy came out. It's like, yeah, they were loud. The international crowd, though, provides an energy, which is different, because it's like, okay, they were loud for certain moments of last night, but again, when we were in Puerto Rico, when we were in France last year for Backlash, there was a different energy for the event that elevated it to the next tier. Whereas with this, it's like, okay, cool, you had these loud moments, and I mean, you had some spots that happened, and you were like, okay, cool, but it didn't elevate it to the way that it had been in the past.
Yeah. Like, they didn't, like, and a lot of those other places, when their venues are, like, a lot bigger than the one that they use in St. Louis, which is, like, 17,000+. So that might have something to do with it, too, right? Like, when you have, like, a big, big crowd energy, it is a little bit different because there's just that many more people into it.
Yeah, I could say that, even though I think this was a larger crowd than some of those overseas venues. I think everything seemed on par. But what this show, the international backlashes and other events, the crowd kind of carries the show. For this, the in-ring action actually carried the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the matches were solid themselves. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, any of the ones that happened were a stinker. And let's just say one of the matches, was it the best wrestled match? No, but it probably had a really good story that was told instead of it.
And which that match was bringing was that? You in. And which match was that, Brent?
I mean, that would be Gunther and Pat.
So let's talk about Gunther and Pat.
There we go!
Well, to begin with, kudos to Gunther for protecting the shit out of Pat. A lot of people bitching and complaining about some of the air quotes hits that were delivered. They were delivered that way on purpose. And it's perfectly fine. You got somebody in there who's been wrestling most of his life against somebody whose claim to fame is kicking a football.
I mean, that's a pretty good claim to fame.
Especially if you can do it well.
I was going to say, he made a couple $1 million doing that. I think he's fine.
Yeah, he didn't do a bad job kicking a football here and there. But back to what I was saying, watching that match, and watching how they're throwing the forearms and everything else like that, and what Gunther was doing and what Pat was doing, just the way that Gunther really took care of Pat, really, really took care of Pat. For me, at least personally, it was extremely obvious. I don't know how obvious it might have been just to the casual viewer, but I'm just giving him his due.
Yeah, no, they did a really good job. And, like, there were some shots that you could tell he was protecting Pat, but then there were some other ones where you're like, ah, there it is. Like, he knew when to not destroy him and when he could lay in and have it not, like, kill him at the same time.
Yeah.
Did any of you think for a second that Pat was actually going to win?
Nope. No.
There was one tiny moment where I thought they were going to do the Heenan Rude Warrior spot. I mean, they alluded to it. They were going for it. And I thought, oh shit, they're going to steal one possibly. Cole's going to help him win. Gunther's going to go ape shit.
Yeah.
And Gunther kicked out of two. And it's just like, okay, no, they pulled you in for it. Good job.
Yeah, no, I like that they teased it.
But for that second of Cole like sitting there waiting, and you can see like he's sitting right there at the apron, just like, yeah, do the suplex, do it, do it, do it. And lo and behold, he does it. And then, yeah, that just the look that Gunther shoots him of just like, I'm going to kill you after this is over. But overall, I mean, this was one of those things where, like, as I talked about when we, you know, first introducing this match, this isn't a match. This wasn't going to be a match, you know, 15 minutes, five-star classic, you know, all the, you know, using all of the amateur background. No, it was like, it's gonna be, you know, a couple of bells and whistles here to hide the fact that Gunther, as Tim said, very much trained wrestler, has been doing this for 20 plus years. Pat has had about 5 matches, and one of them was at WrestleMania. I don't know if we would consider that a full match, so, for what it was. So for this, it was like, all right, no, let's slow it down, let's tell the story, and let's really kind of drive home the fact of wrestler versus non-wrestler.
Now, were you surprised at the end where he gave him his respect?
Yes and no.
I was going to say yes and no. Go for it, Cage.
Well, I mean, and yeah, this is just kind of how I saw it. Like, I think it, whether, and I mean, whether it was, you know, scripted or not, but if you kind of look at the beating that Pat took, you know, Gunther giving him just like a tiny little nod of like, okay, I lit you up like a Christmas tree and you survived. I'll give you that. I don't think it was like a, acknowledgement of like, you belong in this ring sort of deal. I think it was very much like a, oh, well, you got up after I beat you from pillar to post and made your chest red and, you know, almost basically made an example out of you. So good on you for getting back up instead of just lying there and not getting taken out on a stretcher. I think that's kind of what I got out of it. So yeah, like, I don't think it was Gunther being like, ah, you, I respect you as a wrestler. I think he was more, I respect you as a man who got the crap kicked out of you and kept coming back.
Yeah. I would echo that. And especially for me, it's that idea of everything that led up to this was the fact of like, Gunther was essentially telling him like, you don't belong here. And, you know, I'm going to beat you within essentially an inch of your life. And Gunther just beat him down. And it's kind of like after the match, it was just like, all right, you took your beating. But like Casey pointed out, I don't think it's going to be, you know, I respect you as a wrestler, you belong here. It's like, no, it's just that, all right, you took your ass whooping, there you go, and left. I do not think it's an acknowledgement of like, Pat, I can absolutely see you here every week.
Okay. So yeah, Gunther came out on top, as most suspected that would happen.
We didn't get what a lot of people thought was going to happen, though.
Not yet.
No, there were two people who were floated about of like, maybe they'll show up and, you know, save Pat McAfee. And I'll admit, I was one of those people that's just like, all right, we're getting towards the end. And I was like, all right, is someone going to come up from commentary to save Cole? Because it looked like he was going to get murdered. Or were you going to hear the bass drums and have contractual obligations?
We talked about contractual obligations on Thursday and put out some scenarios, but I thought it was too soon to bring him in.
Well, it also depends, like, if that's going to be like a SummerSlam thing, then yes. Because yeah. I don't think you're going to blow that match for a Saturday night's main event or you know, a tier 3 match at Money in the Bank.
See, I don't mind doing it at a Saturday night's main event in July. I think you can do that, especially if you slow build to it.
See, I see it more as an undercard of SummerSlam.
I mean, they do have 2 nights.
Yeah.
But also television ratings, you could pop a number. That too. Many were...
Well, I mean, you can combine the digital and the regular number and get a huge number if you wanted to.
Yeah. You can. So many were not expecting to see Jeff Cobb appear when he did. When he appeared during the Fatal 4-Way match for the United States Championship, Jacob Fatu defending against Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, and L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
this felt like 2 singles matches.
I don't think anybody had Cobb on their bingo card.
No, a lot of people did, but not showing up in that manner.
I was going to say, yeah. Maybe not in that match, but you knew he was on the horizon.
As his fake retirement from Japan, no one was buying.
Although apparently the logistics to get him to St. Louis and keep him a secret was astounding, from what I understand.
I mean, they're good at it.
Like 5 plane flights.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Figure it out, though.
And to be fair, they made him look like a beast.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, they made him look like a beast, but at the same time, with him standing there with Jacob and Solo, it's the first time I looked at Jeff Cobb and went, he's smaller than I thought he was.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, in other, you know, when he was with AEW or when he's in New Japan, like, he looks like a brick shithouse. And it was just, I mean, maybe even just height-wise, like, he's standing there next to Solo, and I kind of went, whoa, wait a minute. He's about 4 inches shorter than I thought he should be.
And he's being brought in not to be the featured act. He's being part of a group, and I think that's good presentation for him, because every time they kind of brought him into AEW, they try to make him the feature. He seems like he's going to play a nice role in this.
Well, and I think it's one of those things of, it's a nice way to take the pressure off of him, especially for groups that may not know him. It's the same thing with Jacob Fatu. They brought him in as part of the Bloodline. Now, once he got in there, he was able to start to carve his niche and really kind of get the spotlight to shine to him. And Jeff can do the same thing. But it's a good way of like, okay, he's going to be the right-hand man of Solo. He's there to be part of this group. And so if he isn't the one with the spotlight shining brightly on him to start, that's good, because it gives him time to work on some stuff, especially for the WWE style.
Yeah. Well, and it'll give them time to kind of assess how he's going to go up against a lot of their like established talent, and whether he's going to be able to kind of work the same way that he has in New Japan and AEW and on the independents.
That being said, him versus Jacob is going to be a hell of a match. Those two guys can move.
Yeah.
But I'd like just the simple thing of, he comes out, he helps them win. Jacob has no clue what's going on. And that look that he's giving both Solo and Jeff Cobb of just like, the fuck are you two doing? Because they're subtly doing that kind of power dynamic of, you know, Jacob has gotten the belt. He has kind of asserted himself as the de facto leader of this second bloodline. And the Tongans aren't there, as Paul alluded to them. You know, the Gorillas are not there due to injury, and Solo has just kind of been like, okay, he's hyping up Jacob, but at the same time working some stuff behind the scenes, and now Jeff is that first kind of piece. And so, yeah, you'll have this kind of struggle between like, you know, oh, is Solo really backing him up, or is he making the power play that he essentially did with Roman? And is Jacob gonna sit there and just be like, nah, dog, I watched this before, and this ain't going
to
happen.
Will be interesting to see. But what do you think I thought of the actual match that took place?
It was entertaining. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, it was entertaining for what it was. And, you know, each guy had his 2 minutes to shine. And it was, you know, just overall, it was enjoyable.
I alluded to this when we first started talking about it, but this really felt like 2 singles matches that were going on. Because, I mean, it kind of was from WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jacob and LA Knight kind of pairing off with each other and continuing their fight. You had just, you know, Keishi's tagline insert here about Drew and Damian just beating the high holy hell out of each other. And basically having the spot of the match with, hopefully Damien's tooth gets to stay in his mouth for an extended period of time now. And Drew, hopefully he's all right, considering that 90% of him went through a table and 10% did not. But unfortunately, it's the most important 10% that missed the table.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was, I think it was entertaining. It was good. The outcome, I wasn't the most surprised I mean, like, not so much Jeff Cobb coming out. That was surprising. But, like, Jacob winning, retaining, I was not surprised. I kind of figured that he would. But, like, there were a lot of, there was a lot of good action in this match. I do echo the sentiment of Brent saying it was kind of two singles matches kind of put together. There was a little bit of crossover, but for the most part, each pair kind of primarily stuck to their own thing, which isn't a bad thing. Because, like I said, it was entertaining. They did a lot of good stuff. There was, you know, action from bell to bell, not a whole lot of, like, slow points. And when there were, it was, like, for very good reasons. I don't know. I was entertained from start to finish.
Jacob Fatu walks out still. You're United States champion. Dominic Mysterio still holds on to his Intercontinental title over Penta.
Again, not thoroughly surprised by the outcome of this match. But you did get a good kind of lucha match between these two. WWE is still very high on Penta, which is good to see. Also, adding the bit of a remix to his music is kind of nice and helps. I know Tool did his brothers. Who was the band that helped with his music?
Well, I think the guitarist from Tool remixed Penta's as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he did both. Got it. But yeah, adds a nice little extra oomph to it, which is good to see. Rock and I were talking about this last night after CB. It was too early to try and take the belt off of Dom, especially with all of the shenanigans that are going on with the Judgment Day. So in this case, I'm not surprised the belt didn't move. Plus, you get to extend the feud with El Grande with his interference with Penta, and that will take it probably to Worlds Collide, where hopefully we get the end of El Grande and Chad can just kind of shine on his own. Not that El Grande isn't entertaining, but it's also like it feels like it's the one trick pony. So in this case, it's just the kind of thing like, okay, yeah, the one note is being played, it's working for now, but soon I think they're going to need to move on. And like I said, just give Chad the chance to actually shine as Chad for once and not having to be like behind the mask for this bit of it. But at least it gives him stuff to do and, you know, keeps him on TV, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed like the work that both guys put in. They did really, really good. I was very like, especially like Dom, when you look at kind of where he started to now, he's like, it just his in-ring ability, I think, is vastly improved. You can tell he's a lot more confident in there than when he first started out, being nervous and being Ray's son and being green and all that. Now he runs around and he feels like he knows what he's doing, when to do it. He's a lot more comfortable.
I still hate that stupid mustache.
Well, yeah, but that's got nothing to do with his work rate, Tim.
That's part of it, though, is you're supposed to hate the mustache.
Yeah.
And the girls love it for the charm of it. Don't ask why, but they do.
I just love the fact that, like Casey alluded to, like when we first met Dom, he was kind of this clean-cut kid of Ray's who we watched from, you know, the short, dumpy little version that was essentially, quote-unquote, put on a pole. But then, you know, when he got old enough and we all went, oh shit, that's Dominic Mysterio. And he got involved with like his dad and Brock Lesnar and then actually, you know, fully got into the ring. I don't know if a lot of people expected a lot from Dom, and yet he is one of the more entertaining people in general on the roster right now. And hence why he has the Intercontinental title. It's a nice little kind of payment for, you know, hey, you've done some good work. You've done what we've asked you to. Here, have this. Let's run with it.
He's earned it.
He has. That's why when we did our yearly picks, I was like, they'll eventually give him this belt just to kind of reward him for the work that he's done. Will he hold it for long? That remains to be seen. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
But it's doing what it needs to right now.
Indeed. Becky Lynch challenged Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. What do we think of this one?
To me, this showed Lyra can hang with some of the top women in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Like, normally we've seen her wrestle, and it's kind of like, no offense, but she was wrestling like Dakota Kai and Ivy Nile. Good workers in their own right, but not that kind of top-tier talent. And we know that she faced Becky in NXT, but there was always that kind of thing of like, is Lyra ready for some of that top-tier talent? And the match that she put on with Becky I think, showed on the whole that she's able to hang work rate wise with some of the better wrestlers on the roster right now. Were there some spots that you're kind of like, that could be cleaned up a little bit? Sure, but that happens in every match. Mm-hmm. But at least for this, I was looking at it and I was like, all right, Lyra's doing well. Becky, I think, did a good job of truly working that kind of heelish style and getting the fans to kind of buy into it. Because as Tim talked about last week, there was this idea of Becky turning heel and the fans not going along with it the first time, but I think that was more Charlotte than it was Becky. I think when she did the heel run with, like, Bianca, you know, 2 years ago, it stuck a little more, and I think this one will stick a bit more because of who she's working with and how she's going to carry it.
What do you think, Keish?
Agreed.
Any other thoughts?
I don't know if there's much to add.
I hope Lyra's face is okay.
I think Brent hit kind of all the points that I thought as well. The match was well done. It felt like, yeah, she could hang, and I mean, I expected a different outcome, but I also like how they did it, where it was quick, it was a surprise, and instead of being like sitting there completely shocked and not understanding, oh, what happened? She just like, what? And just went back on it and just beat the crap out of her. So like, that leaves room to kind of further that feud, or even if they want to move on, they can too. So I thought, you know, everything was done well with this match.
Tim?
Yeah, I don't know if I was disappointed or not that Bayley didn't show up at any point, either during the match or to make the save. Match itself was really good. Becky gave Lyra the rub. One thing that I did notice, this has just got nothing to do with the match itself. Was it just me, or was Michael Cole spending half the match calling her Layla? What it sounded like.
I didn't notice that at all.
I did notice that. And I swear to God, I heard it more than a few times. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with the match itself. It's just a bit of an aside. Yeah, Lyra, you know, she quoted herself great. I mean, she proved in NXT that she can hang. This gives her, the match gave her that opportunity on the, you know, the big deal stage. Mm-hmm. And she looks like she belongs. She looked good. She got the rub from Becky. The match served its purpose, and it wasn't a dog.
And then that leads us to our main event, John Cena, Randy Orton for the final time.
Okay, one of the best parts of this match was Randy's reaction about 3 seconds after taking a sip of Prime.
Because he hated it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it just reminded me, and okay, here comes the science fiction geek. In the movie Star Trek Generations, Data gets an emotion chip, they go to the 10 forward, Guinan pours him something new from a planet, and he takes a sip of it, or he drinks it and gags and makes a funny noise, he can't figure it out, and she realizes he hates it, and goes, yes, that is it, I hate this. More? Please. It's just that whole scenario, just looking that, like, in that split second, the look on his face, that's just exactly how it hit me. And it was a snicker moment. But the match itself, did it really give you anything you didn't expect?
R-Truth?
Honestly, it hit all of the high points of all the John Cena and Randy Orton matches.
Over the decades, yeah.
The AA into the RKO. We've seen that before. There's a couple of other spots where, like, they pulled out some of, like, the high spots. We were like, oh, I remembered that one.
Oh, the AA into the RKO. I still popped a tiny bit for that because it looks so flawlessly good this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when they slowed it and showed it in slow motion, it was very, very clean.
Organic. It looked organic.
So LeMans,
I'm not talking Whole Foods.
The man's brings up chat. 2 main issues with the ending. Why is R-Truth, the comedy act, being injected into a serious Cena heel run and probably going to waste a match with him? 2, why are they showing Cena looking like he's regretting his heel turn 1 month into it? I don't think he's regretting his heel turn.
Okay, number 1, you're talking about burning a match with R-Truth. One of the things that came out on the internets after all this happened was, hey, capital punishment. there was a John Cena versus R-Truth match. And John, on his way out, gets to work with whomever he wants. And maybe him and Truth, maybe Truth is, you know, one of those guys he wants to be like, hey, I want one more match. I don't mind if he calls that shot.
Yeah, he did throw, he did put R-Truth through the table at the press conference.
Yeah. Yep. And he's been promoting John Cena's turn on SmackDown the last couple weeks.
Yeah, there is history there. It's not just R-Truth inserting himself randomly in this. It's, you know, Truth and Cena have been linked for a while.
Well, with don't the forget whole little Jim
stuff. Yeah, with all of that. And, you know, don't forget with the capital punishment bit, it was, you know, Cena and Punk kind of taking on Miz and R-Truth.
There was also Survivor Series, Rock and Cena against
Rock and Cena.
Miz and Truth.
Yeah. So there is history there. There is, you know, a link. It's not just a random assertment. And again, like I said, maybe John looked at this and like, yeah, I want one more match with him on the way out because I think it would, you know, do well. And plus, honestly, we saw this with a little bit of Gunther versus Pat McAfee. There is something to be said about a heel John Cena beating up the comedy act of R-Truth. Because the fans are going to have a visceral reaction to Cena's beating the shit out of R-Truth, and we actually like him and think he's funny. Boo, and John.
And it's going to be not even a 10-minute match on Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, it'll just be, it is an appearance for John. And his whole thing is, he only has, 17 appearances left, or 20 appearances left, that he can honestly play this up as, I'm going to burn one on this. Because, again, it's going to get him heat.
And it's a quick build. Saturday night's main event is a week from Saturday.
Yeah, it's a good way to put together a quick match that will get people interested, but also you're not burning a bigger feud on something that doesn't have a whole lot of time to build.
Because then you got to build right away to Money in the Bank.
Well, and LeMans mentioned something else. I would be okay if the Truth Cena was a legit bond, but it's based on the running joke of him being his childhood hero. Yeah, the thing about that is, Truth is going to be the proxy for the fans in that match. It's John taking it to all the people that had him as the childhood hero. And as he said, I'm not in it for that. I'm in it for me now. So him beating the hell out of Truth is like beating the hell out of every one of those fans, every one of those kids in the arena who wears the John Cena t-shirt.
There you go. I don't think the outcome was surprising. I think Randy's going to have some fines coming his way, and we'll see what authority actions will come his way after RKOing everyone.
Well, this could be the Randy Orton, you know, vacation time right now.
I mean, he just came back.
Well, true. I know he was off for his back injury, but we all know Randy works a different schedule, and maybe he's off until SummerSlam.
Or they actually have an angle for him.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, no, with Kevin, I don't think Randy's going away. I think with Kevin Owens out, he needs to step up a little bit. Because he took off, he wasn't in the Rumble, he came back after. So he's only been around a couple months. So I think he has some matches in him.
Yeah.
But overall, good show.
Yeah. See. I think like we talked about at the start of the show, it was good. The matches were good. We don't really have gripes about that. It did its purpose of being a post-Mania PLE. And now you might be able to ramp it up a little bit more going into, I believe, Money in the Bank. Or you've got Saturday Night's main event in 2 weeks with Uso and Paul as the main.
Yeah.
But your next big PLE is that Money in the Bank?
Yes.
And that one's going to be a big one because, as we know, whoever wins that is kind of fast-tracked to being a world champion.
Yeah, we got Money in the Bank into the Saudi show into SummerSlam.
And then we've got Worlds Collide right before Money in the Bank as well.
Yep, 3 hours before, 4 hours before, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, here you go. All right, Brent, housekeeping.
All right, so we had 11 people competing in our Pick'em Challenge. At the bottom, tied for 10th place, we have Rob, tied with the Magical Wheel of Fun.
Nice.
Going 2-3, sub-500. Not great, but room for improvement. Room for improvement, Rob. In tied for 6th place, going 3-2, we have Tommy and Sarah. Tommy and Sarah, our two listeners that participated. Lindsay Ward of The Rack, not an expert in the WWE picks here, and the 8-Ball, all going 3-2. Don't worry, Lindsay, you can redeem yourself in 2 weeks when we have Double or Nothing. You'll probably get them all right for that, because we know you're the hashtag expert.
You're going to get yelled at again?
No. Yes, Lindsay, you're going to do great. We all know it. Tied for second place, going 4-1, we have Tim, myself, Keishi, and Subway. We all missed one. You picked Becky to win by DQ because you thought Bayley was going to interfere.
Oh.
Keishi and I had just had Becky winning outright.
Yeah.
And then at first place, going 5-0, which is not hard with five matches, Rock.
That's our show.
That's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed Backlash last night if you saw it. And I hope you appreciated our review of it, whether you saw it or not. The new week kicks off tomorrow, immediately following Raw with the post show.
Yes, we are back live when Monday Night Raw ends for the Raw post show.
Yeah, you're not done talking Backlash because you're joining Lindsay at 10 o'clock Eastern Thursday night for another edition of The Rack.
Yeah, Lindsay and I will give our thoughts on Backlash and all the news you can handle at Smack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Saturday!
Yes, Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio Live.
And of course, next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, you might expect us to be talking a preview of Saturday night's main event.
That's the plan.
And there it is. So, everybody, hope you had a wonderful weekend. Happy Mother's Day once again to all you mothers. And enjoy the week coming up, and we'll catch you next Sunday night. But before we go, don't forget to follow us on socials.
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, since Wild Talk Radio, or at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim, you have socials.
Yeah, follow me at Flames Forums. Just having a lot of fun, just posting random shit and shit and stuff like that.
Keishi tries to social media once in a while.
Yeah, you can find me not posting random stuff on most socials at Kyle Driver. If you can't find that, I'm probably not on it.
There you go.
Do you chew bubblegum?
Sometimes.
Okay, what color is it when you blow a bubble?
Depends on the gum I chew.
Isn't it a red bubble?
Sometimes it's a purple bubble. But Tim is actually segueing to my Redbubble store, where I sell t-shirts and many other things.
Like a bento box?
No, the bento boxes are not on there because they don't offer them. Bento boxes are only exclusive to live events that I am working on.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry, my bad. Yes. My bad!
And could I manage to have time to roll around a squared circle and get punched in the face, I will probably post about it.
Awesome.
Brent?
Yeah, you can find me across social media at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That'll be on X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky. Yeah, you can probably find me there. And then you can find me on CB Radio Saturday nights with the Intern's Corner and possibly winning yet another ChatGPT Says Things.
There you go. Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use career code ROCKETSLOCK in the Fortnite item shop. It's #EpicPartner. Now we're done.
We're out of here. Okay, everybody. Go to bed. Tomorrow's Monday. Take some
talkradio.com.